are visiting with us. We want you to feel right at home. Some of you have are visiting with us. It's been a while since you have been with us, and we are very glad that you are here. And glad that we can all be together this evening and to worship God and to study a little bit from God's Word. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture as I begin this evening from Proverbs 28, beginning with verse 24. It's maybe a proverb that we don't cite very often. It has a subject that is a little bit surprising. Proverbs 28, verse 24. He who robs his father or his mother and says, it is not a transgression, is the companion of the man who destroys. That's a pretty powerful proverb. You know, we think about people who rob and steal from various ones, and what a terrible thing to do. Here's a proverb that talks about children stealing from their own parents, robbing from their own parents. And just to make the point emphatic, talking about how the horrible action that that is, it would be equivalent to someone that just goes about in the community destroying. We think about maybe some kind of an arsonist, or in our day and time we think of a terrorist or something like that. And here's a proverb that says that the child who would rob his own parents is equivalent in the atrocity to that kind of person who would just destroy things in his community. Really an amazing thing when you think about children robbing from their own parents. I suppose that certainly can happen. Maybe young children, you know, going into dad's wallet or something, getting his wallet and stealing money. I think probably more often what you see in this is children who, when their parents are very aged, and children may be stealing from their parents, taking advantage of their parents in their dotage, and parents just trusting their children, and yet children betraying that trust by, in effect, robbing from their parents. What a horrible, horrible thing, and the proverb certainly condemns that. But with that proverb as kind of a basis, I'd like to suggest to you that there are other ways you can rob from your parents other than just stealing money from them. There are things that parents deserve from their children that children can refuse to give them. And I think that's robbing from your parents. Robbing from your parents, not giving them what they deserve. What do parents deserve from their children? I want to talk with you about that today. And again, we've been honoring mothers today, and our nation does that. I think it would be good for us to think this evening about things that children need to see that their parents deserve because they are their parents. And I want to say, first of all, to you that the thing that comes to my mind, first of all, that I believe the Bible emphasizes, is that parents deserve honor from their children. Parents deserve to have their children's honor and respect. In fact, when you look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, honor your father and mother, one of those Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Paul would cite this commandment in Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about how this is the first commandment with a promise given to it, because it emphasizes that when children honor their parents and respect their parents, they're going to be following that teaching of their parents, and their days indeed are going to be long. They're going to live profitable lives and long lives, and that's just because they are honoring those parents who are more experienced and who are in that position as their parents, doing what is right before God. And that's just kind of the way the world is set up. The world that God created is set up to work that way. When you honor your parents, indeed, chances are your days are going to be prolonged in the land. And indeed, you're going to be honoring the God who has set up this entire parent-child relationship. I'm going to say to you that when we as children do not honor our parents, we're robbing them of something that they deserve. And God says that they deserve that because they are our parents. And sometimes you have a child who's in a position where their parents maybe are not good parents. And sometimes the parents have their own problems with sin. And so sometimes a child might even excuse himself of the responsibility of honoring his father or his mother because they see, or they may even say, well, my father and mother are not honorable. They're not respectable. But I want to caution you about that. Remember King David when he was being chased by Saul? The book of Samuel talks about that when David was in the cave and God providentially caused events to be such that Saul was right there with David in the cave. Saul didn't know that David was there. And David cut off the edge of the king's garment to show the king that he could have slain Saul if he had wanted to, but he didn't. And yet the text says that after committing that action of cutting off the edge of the garment of the king, that David's conscience smote him. He felt guilty about that. And the reason why is because, as David said, he's the Lord's anointed. You know, if you want to talk about someone who was a despicable person in those years of his life, it was King Saul. And his treatment of David was absolutely reprehensible. Chasing David like he's some fugitive around the wilderness of Judea. Causing David to be viewed as some kind of a criminal when David had done nothing wrong. It was all in Saul's mind, and this egoistic king who could not accept God's judgment upon him. Saul was absolutely a sinful man, and yet David's conscience still bothered him because he did not give the king the respect on that occasion that was his due. Sometimes the person may not be respectable in their behavior, but the position or the office they hold, that's worthy of our respect. And so may I say to you that if you unfortunately are one of those children whose parents are not very respectable in their behavior, God's word says you still need to honor them. Maybe not because their behavior merits that, but the position they're in as your parents, that's what merits that. And you don't have a right to treat them with disrespect and dishonor. Now, having said that, may I then say, if that's true, if even parents who are not very honorable in their behavior, if they deserve respect and honor, well, then what about the majority of us who have parents who really are good parents? Who are trying their best to be a good parent and to have raised us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How much more should we be sure to honor those fathers and mothers? So I want to say to you that if we're not honoring our father and our mother, then we're not giving them what they deserve. We're, in a sense, robbing them of something that they have earned. And that's especially true when our mothers and fathers are respectable people trying to serve God and do what is right. That also leads me to say this, that our parents deserve our gratitude. And we need to make sure that we give them our thanks for the job that they are doing and that they have done as our parents. Proverbs 30 and verse 11 says, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And the implication of that proverb is the kind of man that would not honor or bless or express gratitude toward his mother and his father is a dishonorable kind of man. Or Proverbs 31 verse 28, that passage of the worthy woman that was just read from a few moments ago. Her children will rise up and bless her, this worthy woman of the household. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her. And indeed, what you see there is a picture of this worthy woman who has been serving God and serving her husband and serving her family and doing the best that she can do to fulfill her role. That worthy woman is deserving of the gratitude and the thanks and the blessing from her children. From her husband also, but again, as we see here, from her children. And so we need to think about that. We need to think about the gratitude that we need to express to our parents for the things that they have done for us. Let me tell you the mistake that a lot of kids make. Young kids and adult kids alike. I think sometimes we make the mistake of not expressing our gratitude to our parents because we sort of had this idea, well, but they're supposed to do that. Sometimes young people don't express their thanks to their mother for the good things that she does every day in providing for them and putting food on the table and clean clothes there in the room and all those things and, you know, driving the kid here or driving the kid there. And we think, well, but she's supposed to do that. That's what moms are supposed to do, right? Or don't express our appreciation to the father who's working hard to provide for the family and doing all sorts of things there. And we think, well, but that's what dads are supposed to do. You don't thank somebody for what they should do. That's kind of the thinking that we have. May I suggest to you that if that's the way you think, you need to kind of rethink your manner of viewing that. Because even though it's true that God commands people who are bringing children into this world to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's right. God commands them to do that. Let me say to you, it's a tough job. I don't know about you, but it was a tough job raising my three kids. It's just hard. And I'll tell you what happens. There's a lot of parents who, because it's so hard to raise children, to raise their own children, there's a lot of parents who just cop out on that. If your parents haven't copped out on that responsibility, they deserve your gratitude. Sure, they need to do that. They ought to do that. God commands them to do that. But let me tell you what, it's tough. It's hard sometimes. And there's a lot of parents who renege on that responsibility. If your parents haven't, then you need to express thanks to them. I think sometimes it's not until we become parents ourselves that we begin to appreciate what our mom and dad had to go through raising us. And all the gray hairs that we put in our mom and dad's heads, and all the problems that we cause for them and all the emotional burdens that we cause them. It's when we have our own kids and we're kind of going through all that, that we have this sense of deja vu, except now we kind of see it from our parents' point of view. And that's maybe when people start realizing, wow, I really had good parents after all. And this is a tough job. And they did that. They may not have been perfect. Nobody is a perfect parent. It doesn't come with the instruction manual. And I look at some of these young parents now, and, you know, they've started out, they got the little kid, and they got the big smile on their face, and they're so happy and all that. And I just look at them, and I just think, oh, they're just so ignorant. They have no idea what awaits them. And there's all these stages of parenthood. And you know, and as I said, there's no instruction manual, and you're basically kind of learning by trial and error. I mean, sure, you know, we're going to have a teenage parenting class, in fact, real soon. And so we have classes like that at church, and that can help and all that. But a lot of it is, in fact, most of it is just on your own, trial and error. And about the time that you've just pulled your hair out, and I'm so sick of this stage, I just want to strangle them, and I just want them to be out of this stage. And about the time that you finally kind of know how to handle your child in that stage, what happens? Well, they grow out of that into a brand new stage, and the new stage is more horrendous than the one that they came out of. And it's a cruel joke. And you almost, you know, what to say. Why have you forsaken me? Because of what you're going through here. And then about the time you figure out how to handle them in that stage, well, then they go through another one. And you know, that's just kind of the way it is. And you don't really figure out how to parent until you've already gone through it and made all these mistakes. Let me just say to you, we need to express our appreciation to our parents for what they went through. And I don't think we do that enough. I know I haven't done that enough. I don't know about you. But parents need to hear that. And if we can see how grateful we need to be before we have our own kids, go ahead and tell them even now, before you have kids, and realize the hard way how much gratitude you should have for your mom and dad. Go ahead and see that now and tell them now. It will mean the world to them. If we don't do that, I think we've robbed our parents of something that is their due. We owe that to them. We owe it to them to express gratitude. I'll tell you something else that parents deserve from us, and that is care. And I'm especially thinking about that from the standpoint of the way that the life cycle works. You know, yes, you've got this parent-child relationship, and most of your parents' life, the nature of that relationship is, well, they're this figure who is providing for you, or even when you leave home, well, okay, they're there, and you can maybe call on them every now and then to assist you here and there, you know, when the bills get tight or whatever, you know, if they're really nice to you, you know, and all this. But then there comes a stage in life where those parents of yours, they become elderly. And there's this cycle, and now everything is reversed, and you got this role reversal. And it's a gradual process, but you eventually wind up with a situation where your parents are in need of your care. And they're elderly, and they need your assistance. And that's not what you're used to, and that's not the way it's always been. And they were always there for you, and they had the responsibility towards you, not vice versa. But now it's a different situation. And so now it's a time where your parents need care from you. And Jesus talked about that and how easy it was for children, adult children, to renege on the responsibility toward their elderly parents. Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6, Jesus says, in speaking about the scribes and Pharisees and their man-made traditions, he said, "You say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever I have that would help you has been given to God,' he's not to honor his father or his mother." And Jesus means there in the context, honor them financially or materially by providing for them in their dotage, in their elderly years. And Jesus says, you say that you don't have that responsibility because you were going to use all that money to give to the temple or to give to God. And Jesus says, "By this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So ironically, here's a situation where Jesus is condemning people for not taking care of their elderly parents, not because, at least it doesn't appear necessarily, that Jesus is talking about people who were just angry at mom and dad or just didn't really care about mom and dad, but they had allowed their religious dedication to God to somehow overrule their responsibility toward their parents when their parents were in their elderly years, and Jesus is condemning the scribes and Pharisees for that. Even acts of godliness doesn't somehow trump your responsibility to care for your parents when they need you. And then the wise sage in Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." And there's just a lot of people who, when their parents get old, they don't want the responsibility. And they don't want to deal with mom and dad and having to care for mom and dad. And there's a lot of parents whose children forsake them in those elderly years. So that's why I have so much respect for those, there are many of you here in this audience who certainly exemplify this, and some are going through it right now where this role reversal is going on and you're having to handle that responsibility, and it's just tough. And with all the health issues and the mental decline and various kinds of problems that result in old age, and so now everything is reversed, and it's almost like your parents have become the child and you've become their parent. And that's just a very difficult thing to have to deal with. And yet, there's some of you here who are dealing with that right now, and you're doing that in the best possible way because that's the right thing to do, because you recognize what Jesus and what the proverb is talking about, that parents deserve that. That's part of just life itself. And just like your parents had a responsibility when you were this newborn child and you were absolutely dependent upon them for everything, well, okay, now things are reversed and you've got to reciprocate. And that's just your responsibility. And there's a lot of people in this world who rob their parents of that. They don't help them. Or as the sage says here, their mother is old and they despise them. You know, so often it seems like what happens is that there's maybe several siblings in the family, and yet there's one sibling that kind of gets the real burden. Maybe it's because that's the one sibling that lives there in the area where mom and dad are, the aged parents or whatever. But it's real easy to kind of just say, oh, well, I am not there to help. Or maybe say words like, you know, I've heard from time to time, you know, well, if you need anything, let me know. But basically, that sibling isn't doing anything to help. And all the burden is, you know, say on one sibling. That's as common as it can be. It's a centuries-old problem. But it's just despicable because that's not what parents deserve. They deserve our care. They deserve assistance. And when they are in need and when they are aged, if we just selfishly just say, well, I don't want to be burdened with them, how dare we have that kind of attitude? And so we need to make sure we don't rob our parents of that which they deserve. They took care of us when we were in need. Okay, now it's time for us to take care of them. What else do parents deserve? Let me give you one more thing this evening just to think about that our parents deserve. That's our good behavior. Our good behavior. And I know when I say that, you think, well, okay, but our good behavior, we should be good for God, right? That's why we should be good, because we're trying to serve God. Well, that's true. And yes, ultimately, that's the main reason why we should be good. But let me tell you what, you also need to have good behavior because of your mom and dad. Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 22, the father says to his son these words. He says, my son, observe the commandment of your father. And do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. That's such a neat image, the whole thing. The teaching, the instruction that your parents give, you know, all those things your parents say. And you know the things that your parents say to you and then say again and then again and again and again and again and again. And okay. But all those things that they repeat, that just becomes like a garland around your neck. And it's always with you. And wherever you go, the words of your parents are there. And even talks about how, you know, you wake up in the morning and you can just kind of hear your parents' words. And in fact, the reason why you hear them is because you're probably saying the same thing to your kids. You know, it's time to get up. Get out of bed. Let's go. You know, and you sound just like your mom and dad. And in fact, it can freak you out after a while. I mean, it really can. You know, you're driving in the car. You know, boy, I remember this happened to me. I'm driving the car, and the boys are acting up, you know, and I'm doing the old, you're steering with one hand and doing that, you know, that, you know, and all that. And it was just like deja vu, but in reverse, because I could just picture my father doing that, you know, and I'm in the back seat, and all that's going on. And you just hear yourself saying things that your mom and dad always said. Or if maybe something is in your path in life and you're confronted with something, and maybe your parents have long since passed away, but you just remember what they always said. You can almost hear them talking to you. And The point of all that is that those commandments and teachings and the influence of our parents, it's there with us all the time. And so that's the reason why in Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, the sage says this, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him." Let your father and mother be glad. And let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Yeah, we're supposed to do what's right and have good behavior because God tells us to. But there's another reason too. That woman who bore you, that father who provided for you, who worked hard to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to bring you to church, to make you go to church when you didn't want to, but they made you anyway because they knew that's what you needed. Like they made you go to school, they made you do your homework, they made you do all these things. You didn't want to do them, but they made you because you needed all those things. They deserve to see the fruit of their labor. They deserve to be able to look at you as you grow into a young man or a young woman and be implementing these teachings and living in a righteous way and doing things that are right. They deserve to be glad as they see your behavior. Your good behavior is something that they ought to be able to observe and rejoice in. Tell you what, there's a lot of parents out there whose children rob them of that. Because I tell you what the parents have to observe. This is what they have to deal with in their aged years. They look back on a life being a parent to this child or that child, and that child hasn't abided by any of those teachings and is not living in accordance with those teachings. And all those years spent trying to rear that child, instead of being able to rejoice in their good behavior, they're having to lament, and the tears well up, probably on a daily basis, as they ponder and think about their child who just refused to listen to any of those things. And see, this is one of the problems that we have. We think that the decisions that we make in life will only affect me because I'm my own person. It's my choice and my decision. And we're very selfish in all that. And our society teaches us all that. It's your choice. And we like to pretend that my choices have nothing to do with anybody else. But that's not the way it is. It's the nature of the parent-child relationship. It's the way it is. You can't change it. No matter how much you want to change it, you can't change it. Your bad behavior is going to send a knife through the heart of your mother. And she's going to cry herself to sleep many a night. And somebody says, well, I don't like it. That's the way it is. I don't want her to feel bad. She shouldn't feel bad. These are my choices. That's just the way it is. That's how it's going to affect her. And that's how it's going to affect your dad. When he thinks about you and sees your life and he's so disappointed, and he's going to review things over and over and over again, just be playing the replay button all the time. What did we do wrong? Could we have done this differently? Should we have done that? And all that. That's not what parents deserve. If you've got parents who are trying to bring you up right and trying to bring you up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, they don't deserve that from their children. They deserve children who are going to, as we've said, honor them, express their gratitude to them, care for them when the parents are in need, and have good behavior like the parents were trying to teach them. That's what our parents deserve from us. And so this is a lesson that I hope can benefit those of us who are young and those of us who are old, because we're all the children of some parents out there that deserve some things from us. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, I hope that you will become one. I hope that there's some things that we can do to help you tonight to become a Christian. Or if you are not or rather, if you are a Christian and you need to respond in some other way, I hope we can help you. Let that be known. We'd be happy to pray for you, study with you, talk with you after services. Whatever be your need, let us be of help to you. While together we stand and sing the song of encouragement, won't you come?